Welcome to Black Girl in CLE, the podcast. I am your host, Shayna Black, and in each episode, my special guest and I will talk about local events, the topic of access in Cleveland, and sometimes we'll just talk about some cool people who are doing cool things in the greater Cleveland area. I'll introduce you to this week's guest right after this. Hey everyone, welcome to the show. Today I am super excited for my guest. She is a state legislature. So down in the Ohio State House, we have Janine R. Boyd. I believe it's District 9, correct, Janine?
Correct. That is absolutely it.
And welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Of course. So Janine is here to kick off our Amplify Ohio series. And we're going to talk about some state legislation, some bills that we might have heard about, but then we kind of lost track of. And today we're going to look at specifically a few of the protest bills that are the anti-protest bills that are going through the state legislature. But before we start, where is District 9 for folks that don't know?
Sure. Well, currently, because we are in the middle of our redistricting process for the state legislative districts as well as the congressional districts, and soon Cleveland wards will also be redrawn by Cleveland City Council. So there's a lot going on. I think County Council just is doing their maps as well. It's just a lot going on
right
since the census. But currently, House District 9 includes all of Cleveland Heights, all of Shaker Heights, all of University Heights, and I share parts of Wards 2 and 4 of Cleveland with my sister in the State House, State Rep Steph House.
Okay.
Her name is Stephanie House.
Yep. Mm-hmm. I just met her recently, actually.
She's fantastic.
She
I've
is.
Been blessed. Yes, I have a sister. We have a sisterhood in the House.
That's awesome.
Those of us that came in together, and we have really, we made a commitment to each other day one to stick together and just be, you know, to always keep our communication lines open and just be each other's support system. And it has, I don't know how I would have managed the State House without.
Some days you need that sister friend.
That's right.
You know, and most of us can all relate to that.
Yes.
Tell me this, how did you get started? Like, how did you end up in the State House? Is that like the dream? Was that the goal? Ooh. Did you just want to make the community better?
I actually am a bilingual speech and language pathologist by trade. And I did grow up in politics. My mother was a president of council in Cleveland Heights. Then she was a state legislator for 16 years. And she started off as a principal, a Cleveland public school teacher, and then a principal. And I used to tell her, I don't want to do this. I used to tell her all the time, you know, I used to run from elected politics like it was a forest fire. But my mom always said to me, you know, I appreciate that, but one of two things is going to happen probably, and just be prepared. You're either going to get bit by the bug or you'll get upset with something and you're going to want to change it. And it's going to be so in your face that you won't be able to avoid it. And she was right. I was a practicing speech pathologist in a medical setting. I was part of a multidisciplinary team. I loved my work. I worked with kids with all sorts of neurosensory disorders, neuromuscular disorders, cerebral palsy, autism, et cetera. And there was clearly a difference in the way kids on public insurance, AKA Medicaid, were treated in teaching hospital settings, at least, versus kids on private insurance. And as a part of a multidisciplinary team, I was not really listened to by administrators. When I talked about, you know, better ways to maintain continuity of care when you're serving kids instead of having, you know, rotating students, medical students giving different opinions to families and totally disrupting their
care,
you know,
plan.
Their medical care. Yeah, exactly. So I said, I decided to look for a child advocacy position. I found it. That grew. I decided to go after a city council seat. A dear friend of the family was diagnosed with multiple melanoma. She was leaving. She asked me to consider it. She appreciated that I had a voice around children and youth. And so she really thought that was a void on Cleveland Heights City Council that could be filled. So I decided to do that. And I did. I lobbied the county for funding, and I created our diversion program in Cleveland Heights that has grown since I was on council, thank goodness, and also worked with our municipal judge, then Judge Buchanan, to create a gender-based mentoring program, which is still continuing on now. So I'm very grateful for that work. And then my mom was termed out.
And she was right.
Some folks were looking, and I was interested in continuing her legacy. She wrote TANF, you know.
Oh, wow.
With two Republican legislators. They toured all 88 counties of the state, and she wrote welfare reform. You know, she's a legend. So I knew it would be big shoes to fill, but she was right. I was ticked off, and it just kept growing, you know, all seeing all the things that we could do better. And I knew how to do policy. I knew how to do government affairs. I knew how to write bills, and I understood the committee process. So I went for it. And so here I am in my final term.
That's awesome. That is super awesome. Like, I think we're going to be fast friends, because I used to be a special ed teacher.
So
knowing how the disparities and how kids are treated, like, that's a big thing for me too. So we're best buddies now. Just know that.
Excellent.
So, you know, I heard you say it's your final term. So are there term limits in the state house?
We are term limited. Mm-hmm. So you get to run four times. So 2-year terms each. So 8 years total. Correct.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And you said this is your final term.
This is my final 2 years. Okay. This is it.
All right. Mm-hmm. So we're going to just have to keep talking to you the next 2 years.
That's right.
So let's get into the meat of this. There are four, they're called anti-protest bills, but I think the language calls everything riots. is there a difference, or what's the fine line, would you say, or is there, between a protest and a riot, or are they interchangeable here in this, in this space?
How candid can I be?
It's up to you.
I feel like the distinguishing factor that no one says is race, but there's certainly in the Ohio Revised Code, there's a definition for protest. There's a definition for vandalism. There are definitions of all these things, but what my colleagues have done is taken those definitions and added or expanded them to include, to put it plainly, what my colleagues have done is they've taken the defense arguments in the George Floyd murder trial and made them into policy. That is basically what they, in policy proposals in quite a few of these four bills. And so they add felony charges to things like vandalism, quote unquote vandalism.
Yep.
They add it to quote unquote crimes against first responders. There's a fifth degree felony in one of the bills. I think it was
that's Schaefer. 22. Yep.
Or 16, maybe it was 16, 22. Yeah.
Oh, and you're right. 22. And 16.
No, 16.
You're right.
Yeah. 22 does not. 22. So 22.
That's the fifth degree felony. Let's unpack. Let's just go one by one. So
yes,
House
okay,
Bill
so
House 22.
22, which I was present for and was, and very quickly hit that no button, and wished I could have hit it 100 times when it was time to vote for that bill. You know, that bill had, so when we're in this legislature, we get, we read the bills as we learn about them, because we can't all be on every committee that bills are heard in, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm not on a criminal justice committee, so I get the bill when we're getting closer to a vote to read it. So after reading the whole bill, when it's time for the actual House vote, and we've all had our conversations in our Democratic caucus, and sort of learned from the ranking minority members on those committees about the bills and the arguments that were made and who were the opponents and who were the proponents, who were the people that came and testified as interested parties, if they didn't have a side one way or another, what was the chair's response, et cetera. Mm-hmm. Once we do all that, we are also given a quick summary just so that we have that with us when we're on the House floor. And in the summary, they'll include our policy folks, who are amazing, will include the number of witnesses and break them down into number of opponents, who they were, who the people came, you know, the people that came and testified against the bill, and then who are the people who came and testified for, in favor of the bill. And that bill, I'll never forget, because I was dealing with Aisha's law, my bill on domestic violence, lethal domestic violence, and I couldn't get a vote scheduled And I only had one opponent. And that's why the Republican member of the committee didn't want to vote on my bill, because I had one opponent still. This bill, House Bill 22, had 2 pages.
Of opponents.
Of opponents. And only 3 listed proponents.
Wow.
3. Columbus Police was one. I think sheriffs may have been one. I don't want to misspeak. Sheriffs will often, you know, fall on that side. Mm-hmm. They kind of are outliers.
Yeah. So let's ask this though. Could people have gotten on and could people have sounded off as a proponent or opponent publicly? So even folks up here, it sounds like and I know we're going to talk about this later, but, you know, it sounded like there was a space that we, the public, could have said something before it even got to you or once it was introduced in committee. And so, I don't think people know that, you know, we don't hear about it till the news, till like, you know, I'm looking at all the articles.
We voted for it.
Right. Mm-hmm. And it's like, hey, there's 4 bills that have been introduced and they've already, you know, and that's where all the legislature picks up and that's where the news picks up. And so I think that's one of the things that I do want to talk to you about is how do we know or start getting involved so that, you know, we can sound off when either way on any issue, not necessarily these 4.
Yeah.
Go ahead. You can talk about that
I'll use both. So this is a perfect opportunity to just make sure everybody understands the state legislature versus Congress versus city council versus county council, right? So you've got your local government, that's your city council, your mayor, or your city manager, depending on your form of government. You've got your county council, which, you know, we changed that form of government several years ago. And so you have county commissioners, or not county commissioners, county council executive. People that used to be commissioners, and then executive, correct? And then if the state legislature, which looks just like Congress, except it's the state level, you've got your governor, which is kind of like, you know, president, so the executive office, and you've got your state house and you've got your state Senate. And so bills that start in the house always have to go to the Senate. After they pass out of the house, bills that pass out of the Senate always have to go to the House. And then they always go back to where they started before they are voted out completely and go to the governor's desk for signing to become law. Just like in Congress, United States Congress.
Right.
So I want to make sure everybody understands that. So in the process of passing bills, there's something called the committee process. So bills, depending on their content, will get assigned to a particular committee. What committees exist in every legislature, every 2 years when we start, or every year when we start a new General Assembly, that depends on who the Speaker of the House is and what committees or she is and what committees he or she wants to exist. So it could be 20 committees, it could be 12 committees. You won't know until the Speaker decides.
Okay.
So in this General Assembly, there's always reoccurring committees pretty much that never go away. So like Health Committee never goes away. Finance Committee never goes away because you got to fund all this stuff. And then you've got like education, but sometimes it could be higher education and secondary education, or sometimes they'll separate them. This year, and criminal justice pretty much never goes away either, but there's also civil justice, et cetera, et cetera. So there's different committees. Now, there's only 99 members of the state house. We can't all be on all the committees. There are, you know, if you're in the majority party, there's 35 of us, and so 64 of them. If they're able to be on more committees, right, than we are. So we have to spread out a little bit more. It's worse in the Senate. There's only 9 Democrats in the Senate, and there's 33 members there. So it's worse for them, or there might even be less than 9 now. I can't remember. Good Lord, I think we lost. Yes, I think it might be less than 9. Anyway, so we're all spread out. So that means we don't all know what's going through on in every committee. So I always encourage people, first of all, to watch if you have access to technology and you're able to watch committee hearings, that they are on the Ohio Channel. And all you do is you can just Google Ohio Channel. Mm-hmm. It's very easy, and it shows you, it's very easy to use. It shows you what committees, it'll tell you when the next session is, when the next committee hearing is, and you can watch these hearings. And I'll tell you, as a former ranking minority member on the Health Committee, and I'm still a member of the Health Committee, these anti-vaccination bills, for instance, mm-hmm. they've been fascinating to watch, you know, and to listen to testimony, and very educational when it comes to, you know, so the kinds of folks that come and testify about vaccinations across communities. Incredibly educational. So same with criminal justice. If you can watch Criminal Justice Committee, I think that's a sure way to find out what's happening when it comes to things like police reform, criminal justice reform, bills that like these that are so controversial because they are basically using terms like vandalism and riot to attack freedom of speech and freedom to protest, right? So these folks who might consider themselves constitutionalists in some way are attacking the Constitution in a lot of ways, but they're using key phrases to do it in their policy proposals. And they're siding with law enforcement to do it. And making people, putting people in a position of having to say that they choose a side, which you should not have to do. You should not have to choose between, you know, protecting law enforcement and having the opportunity to protest as a citizen, something that you know is unjust or believe is unjust. So that's the first thing is if you are able to access the Ohio channel, that's a great way to watch live or even recorded because they keep all the recorded sessions and committee hearings. Another thing I tell people to do is to join their local clubs. I mean, so I'm a Democrat.
Right.
If most of these bills are anti-protest, you know, or pro one side and anti-community, a lot of these bills are not, most of these bills are not Democrat. So if you really, if you want to know, if you want to know how to advocate against these bills, join your local Democratic club.
Right.
Because they invite people like me to come and talk to you about what's going on at the State House? What bills are pending? How can we advocate? You know, what, whose bill is it? Whose office can we call? We do that. And we also have things, you know, so this is a pandemic. So a lot of what we've been doing is virtual these days. But even before the pandemic, I would go to all my Dem clubs. I'd be invited, or I would set it up with my state senator and probably Rep House and a few other reps. And we would do our town halls. You know, we would provide town halls. Now, I just did mine last month, but it was virtual. Mm-hmm. And it was a state budget town hall, but I got to talk about some of the bills that are pending, you know? And so that's another way is if you are in touch with your local Democratic club or your ward club, your ward leader or your Democratic club president can invite your state legislators to come and speak or set up a virtual meeting where we talk about the issues. We talk about the bills, we talk about the budget, we talk about what's coming next, what to look out for. That's how we did redistricting forums, right?
Right.
I included that in my state budget forum with Senator Williams, our state senator, Sandra Williams. Mm-hmm. And we talked about redistricting. I had a special guest, my minority leader, Amelia Sykes, who is our representative from the House on the redistricting commission. So she was able to speak pointedly to the process. These are how you stay in touch, right? These are things that you do to stay in touch because it's big, right? The state government is big. And then you have Congress, and we can even include most clubs, ward clubs, Democratic clubs will include information from Congress as well, what's happening at the federal level and how you can advocate at that level as well. In House District 9, I would say especially, we are very proficient. Our Dem clubs are very proficient in getting folks from all levels of government to come and present or do virtual presentations and engage our community and talk about what's happening and answer questions. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
So no, you're fine. So I was going to say, so number one is from the comfort of your home, if you can engage with the Ohio channel, just trying to recap, but then also get involved in the clubs, no matter what party you're in. So if you're a Republican, go to your Republican club. Really, you know, our focus is, and if you're Democrat, go to Democrat. If you're independent or you're leaning toward either or, go to both.
That's not a bad idea.
And just learn. You know, I think that's my standpoint is, you know, I know people that are, when we think about the presidential election, those undecided folks, you know, and they were trying to choose the best candidate. And here, as we look at our congressional election that's coming back up, you know, we got mayoral forums here in Cleveland. It's just go learn. So you don't necessarily have to say, you know, I'm a Democrat all day, every day, or I'm a Republican all day, every day.
Right.
You got to find out what's going on. And so you've given us two options, one mainly from just at our own time, we can go back to the Ohio channel. And I think a lot of people engaged with the Ohio channel during COVID, because that's where we were watching some of the governor's press conferences. But then also, you know, if you're into political parties, your party affiliation isn't just when you say what kind of ballot you want.
Right.
Learn about your parties.
Learn about your parties. And then you might even want to contribute to it. You might want to be a part of a platform committee that addresses the things that you may feel are unaddressed by your party. So there's opportunity there to really get involved, I think, and make it better from the inside.
Yeah, and I think that's the my hope for this series is getting people involved in their community and in their government, wherever you stand, you know, but you got to be informed. So as long as you're informed, go get involved and, you know, let's help make this place better. But let's
talk about one last thing. There's another group, NAACP.
Yes.
NAACP, if you're a person of color or not, if you're an ally, it's Cleveland Stonewall Democrats or the Log Cabin Republicans. There are other parties or groups, organizations that you can join that stay on top of the issues. They have candidate forums. They have postcard writing parties where they'll write about a bill or they'll write about an issue to all the legislators or the speaker or the Senate president, et cetera. There are opportunities to really get into advocacy with all kinds of organizations where you might find your niche, where you might find your place. And so, you know, read about them, investigate them, read about them and go to a meeting.
Yeah. I've even happened to walk into a meeting of the League of Women Voters.
And they are nonpartisan. So they're a perfect example.
Right. And we usually work with a lot of the nonpartisan because it's really about getting people to vote.
Absolutely.
Show up, get involved. You can choose your party as you go, you know, and I think that's one thing that I often stand on is to be educated on if you choose a party, why you chose that party, not just because Black people are Democrats, therefore we should be Democrats. Or my mom was a Republican, therefore I will always be a Republican. Like, we have kind of see if it still fits for us or if it fits for you specifically at the time and phase of your life. So,
and again, if it does fit and you join something, but there's something missing, to get in there and
be the
fix
change.
That.
Yes, that's be the change. I'm a big believer in that. That's kind of how that's how this show kind of exists. You got to be the change.
That's awesome.
So there's four bills. We talked about 22 a little bit. Let's just go back to it. There's House Bill 109 that I've heard opponents call the Law and Order Act. And, you know, law and order can be a triggering word for many folks. And that one says that like the one thing that I read about that one is if five or more people are blocking an intersection, that can be the riot. And that's interesting, you know.
Yes. So this, of course, has a member. Yes, exactly. This allows for civil suits, this bill. And of course, they have a former member of law enforcement is one of the joint sponsors. Abrams, I believe, is former law enforcement. This is the one that I think increases the penalty to fourth degree felony. That's, you know, that could be over a year of time.
Right. From a misdemeanor,
For a misdemeanor. That's correct. When the offender, when the alleged offender allegedly causes damage to property. And so this bill I know has received two or three hearings in criminal justice committee. So there has not been voted out yet. Okay. Versus House Bill 22, which was the first bill we talked about, that was voted out of the House, but it has not been referred to a committee in the Senate yet. So there's still time, you know, to sort of watch. It'll be, if it gets assigned to something, it'll be something like criminal justice. I don't know if this, there's an exact Senate committee for that that says criminal justice, just like it does in the House. Mm-hmm. Sometimes there's some variation, but it will get referred to a Senate committee. So you can be watching for that. Look for the bill, House Bill 22, to be referred to a Senate committee. Then House Bill 109, you're going to be watching the House Criminal Justice Committee for the third or fourth hearing. I think it might be the fourth hearing coming up. And it could happen in the fall. We resume session in 2 weeks more time. And so that it only, you don't need more than two or three hearings to have a vote. So it could get voted out of committee and then it would go to the floor. And that would probably happen pretty quickly, just like House Bill 22 happened pretty quickly. So, and so everyone knows the chair of House Criminal Justice Committee is Jeff LaRae. He's also running for United States Congress right now. So it'll be interesting to see how committees roll out in the fall. Anyway, yeah, so House Bill 109, led by a former member of law enforcement, I believe, adds the 4-3 felony and could get voted out this fall. So to be watching for that. And this one really talks about vandalism. This is the one that really talks about vandalism and riots. And so therefore law and order, quote unquote, correct. Right. They call it the law and order bill.
Right.
And then the next one, you wanted to, these are the Senate bills.
The now. Senate bills. And so there's a six Senate bill 16 and Senate bill 41. And so if anyone Googles those, they're SB's 41 and SB 16.
Correct. Yes. HB is House bill and SB is Senate bill.
Right.
And these are both Schaefer. And Schaefer and I have a history. Okay. He and I went at it. He tried to introduce a bill in our first term together in the state house. He'd been there. I had just gotten there. where you would, you be required to be drug tested in order to receive your Medicaid benefits. Mm-hmm. And so we went head to head on the Ohio Channel. There used to be opportunity for that more where you could challenge a member on policy proposal. And he and I went head to head, and I actually had a few Republicans tell me after that I changed their vote.
Oh, wow.
So I was able to defeat his bill in that first General Assembly. So these are the kinds of things he thinks of, though. I mean, he's very...
Now, isn't that back on the... I heard somewhere that, like, changes or something else to Medicaid and benefits, SNAP benefits, are coming back up, like, in Ohio.
Well, it's possible, but the good news is...
Or was in a committee or something.
At the federal level... At least at the federal level, I believe the Biden-Harris administration pretty much told states that they can't apply work benefits or work requirements to Medicaid, for instance.
Okay.
And so there are some new federal guidance. There's new federal guidance, which really helps limit the sort of...
legislation,
extremely conservative legislation that people are considering that really does not do what they say it's going to do.
Right.
You know, it doesn't get people off of public benefits to make it harder for them to receive them. It does not do that. So it does not save the state money. In fact, it costs more to do that kind of thing. There have been SNAP related bills. So nutrition assistance program, mm-hmm. There have been some SNAP related bills, but they have also sort of subsided, I think, since the federal administration has put out guidance. And they could get voted out, sure, but they probably be founded unconstitutional, or the feds just would not reimburse for those such plans, you know. Okay. So I'm less worried about those, but that doesn't mean you should not advocate against them when they show up.
Okay.
And those kinds of bills, Medicaid, SNAP. SNAP, you would find it probably in Health Committee if you wanted to watch that on the Ohio Channel. And Medicaid, you could either be an insurance or Health Committee. It just depends.
So my question is, what is this new formal or expanded definition of vandalism? Like, how do we define that?
I don't have the actual...
Well, what could it be?
Me,
maybe.
But I can tell
like, I
you...
think when I think of vandalism, I think of like tagging or graffitiing like a bus?
So that exists, but he goes a step further and expands it to, so he expands, I think, to government.
So like someone spray painted on our building, yes, on one of the buildings downtown here.
So that would be considered vandalism.
Okay. And then they can actually sue the person or someone to clean it, correct?
Correct.
Like get the money back for that. What about like when the windows were broken? So I know all along Euclid Avenue here. Okay.
Well, those aren't government.
But is it only government buildings or is it any?
So vandalism already exists. Yeah, okay. And vandalism already exists. He added government buildings because of, you know, the George Floyd protests.
Okay.
That's what it all is.
Okay.
Because the fact of the matter is, you know, on any given day when there is a gun bill, you know, something like, I know it was the senator's name. Oh, no, he's a House member now. You know, changing conceal and carry so that people don't have to reveal that they're carrying to law enforcement. So first of all, this is an example of how my majority members right now, they say all this about protecting law enforcement. All the law enforcement associations came out against that very Republican bill to change conceal carry. They came out against that bill and the House still passed it. They still passed it. And because it endangers law enforcement, right? If a law enforcement officer stops a person and the person has a firearm, that bill does not require the person to reveal that they have a firearm.
Wow.
Now, certainly we've seen in the communities of color that that don't matter sometimes, right? You can reveal and be—
Or not reveal, you know, or not
right,
have.
It don't make no difference, or not have, right. So nevertheless, you know, this it's a conflict of positions. If you say you want to, you are pro police or you want to protect law enforcement, then you pass bills that make sense, to protect law enforcement. Not these kinds of bills don't protect law enforcement. They endanger more people. Okay. And, you know, when you nonstop arresting folks who are, you know, maybe I think the only thing that was ever thrown at a police officer during the Columbus George Floyd protests, which these bills grew out of, was water from water bottles. And, you know, even one of our congressional members from Ohio, Joyce Beatty, was accosted by a member of law enforcement when she spoke up on behalf of someone who I think was throwing water. And she's a sitting member of Congress, but was still... I believe she was pepper sprayed actually.
And in one of these bills, she could have been like gotten more.
That's exactly
I think it's 109 because she would have been like a supporter or
she would have been something. Arrested. That's correct.
Yeah, that she can now be
arrested for approaching the officer and interrupting what the officer was doing with the other person.
Yeah.
She could have been arrested. Correct. And charged. That's so, absolutely correct.
So tell me this, like we have the bills. I think we can understand how folks like us can be kind of caught up in this. Like, you know, it's not I don't think it's necessarily a good bill for Black people.
No.
Just because of the vague language, you know, and what it's coming out of from what you've said.
Correct.
So we always tell people, you know, we'll call your councilman, call your congressperson, call your representative. When people, does that help is my question. And then what are they supposed to say? Like, hi, I'm calling, I'm angry. Like, what is that conversation? Do they get you? Yeah. Like, is there a hotline? How does that work?
Oh yeah, no. So a couple things. First of all, I go back to joining organizations that share some of your core principles, whether it's, you know, a Log Cabin Republicans or Stonewall Dems and NAACP. There's, you know, the National Coalition of Jewish Women. There's, you know, the ward clubs, the Republican, local Republican clubs or local Dem clubs, like I was saying before. The more you're, Cuyahoga County Democratic Women's Caucus is a really engaged. If you're a Democrat, you're a woman, or even if you're an ally, you know, and you want to participate more, they do a lot of great advocacy work. League of Women Voters, same thing. They do a lot of advocacy work. There's a newer organization. Well, not, it may not be new, but I've only learned about it in the past 2 years, and that's called Mobilize the Vote. They're amazing, amazing, also nonpartisan, all about educating people about their vote. But they've done more. They've gotten engaged, and they've done things like postcard writing parties around. They've the local folks did one for Aisha's Law, for my bill, encouraging the chair of the committee to have additional hearings soon and a vote. So there's all your sorority or your fraternity. A lot of times they have government affairs committees, you know, so you can join or at least get on their email list and stay in touch that way, because a lot of times they'll come and they'll advocate on different things as well. So that's
for the individual,
one.
Like for the like I picture my grandmother, but even without the joining, like I picture like the grandmother or like the olden days where my grandma would pick up the phone, like I'm calling the council person. Like,
absolutely.
Is that still a thing?
Yes, it is. It's still absolutely a thing. And my mother's friends still call me all the time. So yes, no, it is absolutely still a thing. Sometimes you get us, the actual elected person, sometimes you don't. I mean, it's impossible for us to be everywhere, but you do have staff. And so my staff person, Ethan Goodman, is incredible. He's from the district. And a lot of the staff person's responsibility is managing constituent issues. We review them together. I tell him who he should call, how that should be processed. And I determine whether or not I need to call, you know, so if it's, so unemployment has been a big issue, right? For instance, and I have called the former director of Ohio Department of Job and Family Services directly and the deputy director directly for a number of constituent cases. So yes, sometimes you get us, or sometimes we follow up with you directly, but calling does matter. We keep count. Emails matter. We keep count. Our staff keeps count. I think one of the more powerful things has been the postcards lately. In the past several years, I've noticed the impact of that. And I'll even have colleagues come up to me and say, your district has sent me all these postcards about your bill, or in opposition to my bill, or whatever. Can we talk about it? So I've noticed that those have become quite powerful. And it makes sense, right? Because you're reaching more than one modality. You've got someone having to take this mail into the office, go through it, see. And so what a lot of times what our staff will do is go by addresses, return addresses or zip codes, and see if any of the folks are from our district and make sure that we are responsive to them, you know, about whatever the policy issue is. So I will say to people, absolutely, I'm voting no to that, or absolutely, I'm voting yes for that, and this is why.
Okay.
And so those seem to be really, and depending on the issue, the volume is really incredible. I can tell you, my email box was full from this most recent House bill that, you know, so another thing that my colleagues on the other side of the aisle have been doing a lot of lately, and it can be very offensive to me personally, is using terms from our young history in this country in a different space. So terms like discrimination, terms like abolitionist, terms like vaccine discrimination or racism. I've actually heard medical racism. That was the
wow.
Yes, and these are all not people of color, and they're all talking about vaccinations and wearing masks and. So, you know, they're using terms like that. And so there's a bill that's called the Vaccine Anti-Discrimination Act. And it's a anti-vax bill or anti sort of public health authority bill. It quote unquote gives people their rights, protects people's rights.
You can come back and update us on that one.
I sure will. The volume of emails that I've received is quite remarkable. Both against and for, all of the four, there was not one. See, this is how I can tell you this, because we keep count, we keep track.
Right.
All of the pro anti-vax bill proponents or witnesses or residents, constituents have not been from my county or my district. Not my county. I'm sorry. I shouldn't say that. Yeah. Not from my district. Not from House District 9.
Okay.
Not one of them was from Cleveland Heights, Shaker Heights, University Heights, Wards 2 or 4, Cleveland. Not okay. one of them. But the majority of my the folks opposed to the bill are from my district that I've received, that okay. I've received. Other, you know, and so that's the other thing is when you join organizations, if you're able to or you're interested in it, the great news about that is they will mobilize efforts like these. They will give you the advocacy alert message that you want to share with the legislator or the staff person that you want to put in your email or that you want to write on your postcard or that you want to leave as a voicemail message. They will give you the words and you can edit them and sort of make them your own, but you get to the main point, which is, you know, if it's opposed to House Bill 22, when it gets to the Senate and it gets assigned to a committee and you want to call whatever Senate committee members are on that committee and tell them that you are against House Bill 22, which expands the offense of quote unquote obstructing justice and is therefore anti-protest, peaceful protest, you mm-hmm. want to call, some organizations will help you, like an NAACP, for instance, will help you, will give you the message, will give you the words to say. And, you know, if you're quick on your feet and you like to ad lib, you can change it to fit your personality. But if not, if you're one of those people that really needs that sort of guidance, and that's okay. It's great. It's there for you if you're able to participate in some of those sorts of efforts. And again, League of Women Voters is another example of an organization that does that as well. So this call, email, write postcards, join postcard writing parties, like the League offers. They'll announce things like that. I know the National Coalition of Jewish Women does a lot of stuff like that. I don't know if I've not seen NAACP do anything like that, a postcard writing party, but I know that they do advocate. They tell you who to call. Yep. They give you the message. They've really grown. I'm really proud of them. Actually, they've really increased their advocacy, mm-hmm. their government affairs advocacy in the past few years. I'm really proud of them.
Yeah.
Coming back. Yeah. It's because it's really important. So those are some ways, but yes. And just, or Google us and just email us or call us. If you just want to say, listen, y'all could be doing something more important than passing another gun bill or another, you know, anti-abortion bill or another, you know, having another hearing on another SNAP card bill and make it hard for people to get their food assistance, which it only boils down to like $1.40 a day anyway for the average right. person. You know, you all could be doing something better with your tax, with this, my tax dollars. You can do that. You can still, you just Google us, and our contact information on our official state Senate or state House pages comes right up.
It's very easy to find, like, even if people don't know who their representative is or yes. representatives are, it'll let you put in your address and it'll pop up. So,
yes, you know, can even call still the Board that. Of Elections. Yep.
Yeah.
If you don't, and if you're not, you don't feel computer savvy or you don't have access to technology, you can just call the Board of Elections and they will happily give you our contact information.
So I am super grateful that you were able to hop on this call with me today. And like, I feel like we're old friends and we could chat forever, but I don't want to take your time up. So just to recap, you know, there's four anti-protest bills that people need to yes. kind of pay attention to, mm-hmm. get involved, mobilize, activate on whatever your stance is. You know, it's more than just voting, especially more than voting every 4 years, but we got to yes. vote, and we also got to support the people that we voted for or our representatives so that they can keep doing the job that we want them to do. Did I kind of yes. cover that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And when you, and by support, it doesn't have to be, I mean, even just when we have our town halls, our informational events, participate, you know, because that's what we're here for. We're here to not only be your voice at the legislature, cast our votes, argue when it's necessary to argue, build relationships where we can build relationships to pass good policy that helps everyone. We are also here to give you the information, to share with you what's happening, to tell you what you can do to be involved, how you can advocate, who you can call if you need additional assistance in some area of your life, because everybody needs help sometimes. It's not anything to ever be ashamed of. Participate when we have events. Get on the virtual event or come to the event if you, or send somebody. If you can't get there, send somebody or ask somebody to bring you some information, or just call us, because that's what we are here for.
Perfect. My guest today was State Representative Janine R. Boyd from District 9. And I thank you for your time. You're totally welcome back to come back anytime. And I definitely want you to come back to talk about Aisha's Law.
Can't wait.
For everyone else, thanks for listening. And I'll talk to you guys soon.
Take care, babe. Thank you. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Black Girl in CLE, the podcast. Please check us out online at www.blackgirlincle.com and like and follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at blackgirlincle. This podcast was recorded in Cleveland, Ohio, with post-production by the talented interns at Black Girl Media. Copyright 2019, all rights reserved and retained by Black Girl Media, LLC. Talk to you next time.